And today we're going to be talking about how do we honor God. And there's three or four different passages that we're going to be looking at that actually put those words together. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about honor in the scripture. And honor is not just saying some nice words about people. It's far deeper than that. And so we're going to look at some of the passages this morning that give very specifics about how do we honor God. And the first one is talking about being good stewards of the resources that you're given. And so money is a big part of honor. How many of you remember in the book of Romans when it talks about give honor to governments and pay your taxes? Remember it says give honor to whom honor's due. Well, that little expression in there, it basically could say give money to whom money is due. And so a big part of honor is related to finances. And God is, as you look at the scriptures, the overview of the scriptures, it would seem to say that God is honored when we use the resources that he's given to us in a very, very positive way. And so this passage in Proverbs says this, "Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt to their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God." And so this congregation has a really good track record of doing that. Just the very fact that we've had Meneer share. Some of you remember just over a year and a half, maybe not a year and a half ago, December of 2009, we took an offering, $20,000, to fly them out of Pakistan, a family that was at risk. And you remember that one of the gentlemen in our church, Majid, flew there and put his own life at risk to bring them here. And then when they came here, we showered them with gifts. We set them up in the department. Meneer works on our staff. And we've just been looking after them. This is one of the things that the scriptures asks us to do, isn't it? Is to stand with the poor. And when we do that, the Bible says we honor God by doing that. It's a good thing, isn't it? I want to encourage you that when you're walking downtown Toronto, there may be other places as well, but it's more so downtown Toronto. You see people that are unemployed living on the streets. And it's very easy just to walk by. It's very easy to do nothing. It's very easy just to ignore the problem. But I want to encourage you that when the Holy Spirit sort of gives you a little tweak, a little pinch, a little poke, a little kick, whatever he does, he's saying to you, it's your time today to help someone. And yes, they may take that money and buy alcohol, they may buy some drugs, they may do all sorts of different things with it. That's not your issue. You're not judged for that. We're called to be caring for the poor, and when we do that, the Bible says we honor God. There's another verse in the book of Proverbs. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. And in the Old Testament, there was a, and people, this is way before the law. This is going to the book of Genesis. This is going to Adam and Eve. This is going to Cain and Abel. And you remember these two boys are asked to honor the Lord with their wealth. And it would appear that one of them, Abel, he brought his first fruits. And he was a shepherd. He had sheep. And he brought some of his goats or sheep right away to the Lord as a gift of first fruits. And first fruits was, you are hedging your bet on what the harvest is going to be by what comes in at the beginning. And so let's say you have an apple orchard and you have no idea how successful your crop's going to be, what the bugs are going to be, and all that kind of stuff. And you take a percentage of that and you gave it to the Lord. And it was almost like saying, Father, as I give you, before my harvest is completely in, as I trust you that you're going to provide for me, it's a sacrifice. And you remember that Abel gave, and the Bible very clearly says that Cain chose to wait and hold on to his money, and he didn't give of his first fruits. He waited to see what his harvest was going to be. And the Lord was upset about that, and God's favor came on Abel. And you know what the scripture says is that Cain lost his temper with that when he saw that God's favor was his brother, and he killed his brother. And it's all about honoring God with our wealth. Now, all the way through the scripture, there's passages that tell that we're supposed to be giving. In my opinion, the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, teaches that we're to give a tithe of our income. This passage says your first fruits. I think that the Bible also says we're to care for the poor. The Bible says we're to care for widows and orphans. We're to be responsible with the money that we've given. Do you remember in the New Testament when it came from missions offerings? And Paul's writing in Corinthians and he says, in the proportion that you earn, you're to give. So that sounds a little bit like first fruits. That sounds a little bit like tithing. that whatever your income is, a percentage of that is to go. And one of the primary ways that we tell God we like you, we honor you, we love you, is through our cash, is through our giving. And so this is one of those. There's a couple other ones for you. 3 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says this: they have told the church about your love. These are itinerant people. These are people that are traveling around speaking at different churches. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. So what do you think that's talking about? How do you send someone on their way who's a guest speaker that honors God? An honorarium. Did you know that the word honorarium comes from honor? Obviously it does, doesn't it? And so we try to be very generous. In fact, we are so generous as a church in honorariums that we have no shortage of people asking to come back a second time. I can remember 3 years ago, we had Reinhard Bonnke phone us, and he had connected with Duncan Smith. Duncan, and you remember Duncan and Darren had gone to Nigeria at Reinhard's invitation, and they just really connected. And so Reinhard's phoning, and he's going to be in Toronto. He's going to be doing a fundraiser with all of his network of people that are on his mailing list. And then he has a Sunday open, and he phoned us because of his relationship with Duncan. And if you were here 3 years ago, we had all of our campuses together. We had a great meeting, and Duncan took an offering, and we had $70,000 in that offering, a second offering for Reinhard Bonnke. One person gave $50,000 that Sunday, and the rest of us gave $20,000. And I knew something. I knew something. That because we were generous, Reinhard's going to phone us again. And guess what? Last year he did. And so he was here in May with us. And last year was the even better offering. Well, it was the same amount. We had $70,000 again. But the good news was the largest gift, I think, was $5,000. And that meant most of us contributed last year. Well, guess what? He hasn't phoned back yet, but I know he's going to. Because we've done what this scripture says. And some of you today will be feeling the Holy Spirit say to bless Rob and Heidi. And that's what this passage is all about, is when people are participating in the gospel, part of our responsibility is to bless them and to honor them with an honorarium. Get it? Very good. Let's go to number 2. The second primary thing that honor's connected to in the scripture is about the physical body that you've been given. And primarily this is talking about your sexuality. And so the scripture passage in 1 Corinthians 6 says this: you were bought with a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. And it's talking in that particular passage about not having sex with someone that is not your spouse. And it's very, very clear that Paul's talking about that when we do that, we defile our body. And it says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in our body. And God does not like to have multiple sexual partners. The Holy Spirit doesn't like that. And a defiling takes place. And instead of honor to God, our bodies now begin to say to God, we do not like you. We are dishonoring you. And so the passage is very, very clear. There's another one in the Old Testament. This one's a little scary as well. Do you remember Eli was a priest with Samuel? Remember Samuel was the one who was a great priest, but Eli was the one who trained him. And the passage says this: therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that members of your family would minister before me forever. This is Samuel giving a word. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, those who honor me I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. And you remember the priesthood was taken away from Eli and his family because of his sons. Do you remember what his sons were doing? His sons were having sex with the women when they were coming to the temple. And they're saying, this is the way that you worship God, is by we're going to have sex. And the women bought it. And I don't know if it was forced, I don't know what happens, but it was happening and Eli knew about it. And God said, I'm sorry, but you're not honoring me. And he took away the privilege of Eli to be in the priests and took away that from his sons. And his sons were killed by the Lord, and one day Eli died that very same day, and the father just cut off their lineage because they were dishonoring their bodies. And I want you to understand how much God likes unity. God likes you and him together. It's not that he doesn't like other people, but he wants you, your body, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be pure and holy. And having sex with your spouse is good. It's allowable, and Sandra and I indulge regularly. Was I allowed to say that, Sandra? However, the Bible in the book of Hebrews says that the marriage bed is supposed to be holy. Remember that? The marriage bed is supposed to be holy. And so when married couples are having sex, God is all into that because He created that. And anyways, I'll just maybe be quiet on that from now on. Let's go to number three. I had more to say, but my wife's in the meeting, and I'm learning to honor my wife. So number three part of honor is obedience. And this one's probably the most common one that we would understand, is that when God speaks to us, He expects us to listen to Him and to obey Him. If you were to go to your boss tomorrow, and your boss says, okay, here's your role for today, here's your job for today, here's the things that you're doing this week, and you say, I don't think so, I think I'm going to do what I want. On Tuesday, some of you would not have a job. Would that be correct? Can any of you remember being in school when the teacher said, do not chew gum in class? Any remember those? I was one of these people that for some reason, it wasn't that I was addicted to chewing gum, but we were not allowed to chew gum at home. My parents never bought gum. Is that true? Mom, where's my mom? That's true. She's putting her hand up. She's saying that's true. Thank you, Mom. My wife's questioning my integrity there. So friends would have gum at school, and it would be a privilege to chew gum, except the teachers kept saying, don't chew gum. And I would get caught. And in the 1960s, when I was in school, the punishment was occasionally you'd be sent to the principal's office and they would have a stick and would use it to warm your rear end. But before that was lines. How many of you have ever had to write lines in school? Do you remember that? Well, here's the deal. I wish photocopiers had been invented, but they hadn't been. And I would be in school, be writing lines out, I will not, and I would leave it blank so that when I got caught for something, I could just fill that part in. I worked ahead on my lines. I've always been very studious on those kind of points. The point is I wasn't obeying the rules, and there was punishment. Yes? I didn't get the strap. I never got the strap, so that was good. You did, Nancy. Well, we'll have confession later on. Mary Audrey got it all the time? Mary Audrey, were you a rule breaker at school? You just talk too much. Okay. I think that may be one of the rules, Mary Audrey. So are you able to put me back up again? Okay. Let's look at this verse from the book of Exodus. Because the Lord kept vigil that night, this is talking about Passover, because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt, on this night all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. And so God in the Old Testament gave many, many times where He said, friends, this is what I want you to do. For the rest of your life, this is a festival. This is something you're to do. And all the way through the scriptures, God would enforce and say, this is why I'm saying this. And almost every command that there is has a promise that goes with it, has a benefit that goes with it. Or it's an avoidance of danger. It's an avoidance of problems. And God, you remember, He took all the Israelites when they're heading out, and there was two big mountains ahead of them. Sandra and I, when we were in Israel on one of the tours, we were able to see these two mountains. There's this big valley, and all the people of Israel are in this valley. And Moses said, okay, that mountain over there, that signifies if you obey God, promises, blessings, good things happening to you. This mountain over here is going to symbolize if you disobey God. And here's the negatives, the curses, the lose your job, lose your health, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then He says, which mountain are you going to follow? Which mountain do you want to go? Which way? Which, you know, what do you want to do? And everyone goes, okay, we're going this way. Because that's the blessing mountain. And God plainly put it out for every single one of us. And the word of God that we have is all about a roadmap for success for you and I. And if we follow the Word of God, blessings come. If we go against the Word of God, negative things happen. And it's like, there's a whole bunch of books out there right now that are called Books for Dummies. You know that, the yellow books, Simplify Everything in Life? Well, this is not a book for dummies. This is a book for wise people. This is a book that will save your life. This is a book that will help you to pass on wealth to your generations. This is a book that will help to bring health into your body. This is a book that will help to bring good relationships. This is a book of blessings. And God says, if you follow these kind of things, you honor me when you follow my word. One other passage to look at before we pray. Jesus said this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" There's another verse that says, "Why do you honor me with your lips, but don't do what I say?" And this would be the word that the Lord would say to each of us, is there seems to constantly be a challenge, and this is the role of Satan, is to challenge the word of God. Do you remember he said to Adam and Eve, "Did God really say that?" And all through history, Satan has challenged the written word of God and the revelatory word of God. So even Jesus, when he's in the desert for those 40 days, is challenged, and Satan comes along and says, "Did God really say, is that really the interpretation?" And he was trying to get Jesus to derail his life and to derail the cross because of disobedience. And I want to encourage you that this is a battle that we're all in on a regular basis, where Satan just subtly comes and he says, "Did God say, I don't think that part of the scripture is valid anymore. That was for the Old Testament people, so don't worry about that. Those people who lived way, way back over there, you know, they had different rules, and you're allowed to do these things now." Well, the New Testament says that the Old Testament is the Word of God. Jesus quoted from the Old Testament over, I think, like 200 or 300 times he quoted from the Old Testament. So the stuff that's in the Old and the New is the Word of God, and it's for us. How about you stand? Sue, back one more slide, if you don't mind. Here we go. So here's my question for you today. So how are you with honoring God with your finances, your sexuality, and your obedience? Now, I'm not going to get you to put your hand up for any of these things, but we're just going to pray cleansing for every single one of these. Sandra, do you want to come and help me pray? So let's start with finances. Just close your eyes right now. Because it could very well be that you've been living more for yourself than you have been living for others. It could very well be that your finances have not been going. You haven't had any designation of your income to the poor, to missions, to any of those other kind of things, and it's been very self-focused on yourself. And these would be the Lord's words to you, is that you're not honoring the way that you're intended to. And so, Father, we're asking that you would forgive us for those kind of things. I want you to think of a time when you know the Lord asked you to be a giver and you weren't. And just ask the Lord to forgive you specifically for that situation. It could have been an offering that this church was having, or maybe you got an envelope from Benny Hinn or Billy Graham or someone like that in the mail. You're on their mailing list and you felt the Holy Spirit say give, and you, "No, yeah, I'm gonna keep it." So, Father, all of those times when we have not obeyed you, we've not listened to you, and that would be every one of us in this room. That would be every single one of our pastors as well. Father, we're just saying we're sorry for that. Would you forgive us? And, Father, I'm asking that you would cleanse us from the sowing and the reaping that we have done. None of us, if we know the full truth, if the full revelation of our lives and we're able to see things from God's perspective, would ever once want to not give if we knew the bigger picture. And so, Father, as there's a spiritual battle in giving, Father, we're asking that you would allow us to win those battles. And when the Lord speaks to us and say, "Be generous, be a giver, be a tither, be a whatever," Father, help us to obey your word. And Father, I just speak a cleansing over every single person in this room right now from the negative effects of not listening to the word of God, not honoring the Lord with our finances. Wash us clean right now, Father, in Jesus' name. And just keep your eyes closed. The second area we want to pray about is sexuality. And I'm well aware, because I know many of your stories, many of you have shared your stories, is that some of you were, you did not enter marriage with purity, that you'd had multiple relationships, sexual relationships before you're married. And I know that there's people in our congregation that since they've been married, they've been unfaithful. And we just want to cleanse you right now. Father, we put the cross of Jesus between each one of us and illegitimate relationships that we've had. Father, we're asking that you would cut off every curse, cut off every generational sin that began to flow because of our activities. We're asking, Father, that any consequences of our sexuality going in the wrong way, Father, you would put the cross of Jesus between that and just stop those consequences right now. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would begin to cleanse our bodies right now in the name of Jesus.
And Father, anywhere, well, I just feel like, Lord, for the women, I just want to pray over you, Father, anywhere where they've been defiled, Father, I thank you that you are a loving God and you restore and redeem everything. And so, Father, I'm asking that you would come and just pour your cleansing and healing oil just all over these women right now. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you do that for the men too. I remember somebody speaking about that and how the Lord had redeemed and restored that whole area of their life so that when they got married, they were ready. Father, I'm praying that you would come and restore that purity in our bodies, Father, that, so that we can honor our future spouses and we can honor our spouses in our relationships right now. Thank you, Papa.
And Father, I'm asking that all the temptation that comes to adults, there's just so much sexuality in our society. And it would appear that everybody's hooking up with someone. And Father, we just declare that that actually is a lie. And we declare, Father, that the Word of God has meaning and has life in it. And I speak a blessing over every person in this room. Those of you that are single, I bless you to remain celibate until you find that partner that God has given to you and you have your wedding night. Those of you that are married, I bless you to, as the book of Proverbs says, drink from your own well, not to be sampling other people's wells. Father, would you come and would you just wash over us, cleanse us, our minds, cleanse our eyes, cleanse our hands, cleanse all of our senses, cleanse our sexual organs. Father, we're asking that every place where we have been defiled, that you would come right now, Daddy. And would you bring holiness back to us? Would you put us in a right position where with our bodies, we can honor God? And Father, in this third area of just obeying you, again, we recognize that Satan is all about disobeying God. And everything that God says yes, Satan says, really? And so there's a constant barrage of challenges, subtle things that come to our mind. They come from our society, they come from our colleagues, they come from media, they come from everywhere. And Father, we're asking that as a church group, that as a city, as a nation, that our nation would be known as people who follow after God. Mm-hmm. That we'd be known as a church that follows after God. Follows after the written word, we obey the word of the Lord, and we obey the revelatory word, the rhema words, the thoughts, the dreams, the impressions. There's about a dozen different ways that God speaks to us. Father, we choose to be led by your Spirit. We choose to be followers of the word of God. And friends, that means you need to know what's in the word of God as well. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you cleanse us of all the times that we have not been obedient?
The one thing that the Lord's been, just stay with your eyes closed, but the Lord started to speak to me about it last night, was how we honor people with our words. And sometimes we can be double-minded about it. And that's what the Lord was saying to me. You know, sometimes, you know, in a situation, I can be speaking with somebody, but then turn to another person and begin to speak negative about that situation. And actually that breaks unity, you know, in that. And I just felt like, you know, I know it's for me, but I know it's for the body. You know, that things will happen when we're in unity together and we're in agreement together. And it was even interesting last night. I was watching Pat Robertson, and he was talking about finances, and he said, and it just grieved me, because how often we've done this, you know, where he said to his board, he said, the Lord has said this to me, will you come in agreement with me that the Lord will provide the way he's told? He's spoken to me about, you know, getting this land to buy a school. And he said, please, will you not turn around and go and tell somebody else and slander what the Lord has said? Does that make sense? I know it's just been on me, and I thought, man, that's it, Lord. You know, like, we can sometimes be so double-minded. So, Lord, please forgive us, Father, when we do that, Lord, when we speak. And one sentence we're in agreement, but then with another person we're breaking agreement. And Lord, I just ask that you would forgive me for any way that I've done that, Lord. And you can do your own repentance in that area. But Father, we want to be in unity as a ministry, as a church. Father, we want to see your kingdom come, your purposes come, Lord. We want to honor people. We don't want to speak against them in any way, Lord. We want to be with them. Father, I'm asking for a godly discernment in situations, so we'll know what is true and what isn't, so that we'll be able to go and speak wisely and with love to those people. Thank you, Papa.
So here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to just to put one of your hands on one of the people that's right beside you, and just for 30 seconds, ask the Holy Spirit to just come and cleanse them right now. Can you do that? Just flow in the anointing, and if the Lord gives you any words for them, just go ahead and say that. Yeah. And if you get nothing, just your very hand allows the Holy Spirit to come. Mm-hmm. Come, Holy Spirit.
And if you're with a spouse, you know what? Just begin to speak words of honor over them. Look into them, their eyes, and no matter whatever situation you're in, honor them with your words. Honor them with your eyes and your smile. If all you can say is, I love you, just honor them. And even today, as you're leaving, you know, if they're people that you really go, man, I really like them, just go and honor them and just say, you know, this is what I like about you. You know, you're this, this, and this. There's so many people that need a bit of encouragement. Mm-hmm. So bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. There's one other thing I'd like you to do, so you can be seated just for another couple minutes. I think the most important way that you can honor God is by giving him your body. And I'm talking about becoming a follower of Jesus now. I'm not talking about, you know, like you're you're just saying, okay, here I am. But to invite Jesus to come in. If the Holy Spirit is in that passage in Corinthians where it talks about that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that only happens for people who are followers of Jesus. Those who are not followers of Jesus are very able to sense the Holy Spirit all around them. They're able to get dreams, they're able to get thoughts, they're able to feel his presence. But only followers of Jesus have the Holy Spirit coming into us and living with us. It's a wonderful benefit for those who choose to follow Jesus. And just thinking of Munir this morning and his testimony and how even when persecution came and when his job was threatened and all different things and even when his daughter was raped, he made a choice, I am following Jesus. And he's a third generation Christian in his family and that by choice. And if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, it is the easiest thing you can do and the hardest thing to do at the same time. It's the easiest thing because all it takes is a thought from your heart to say, Jesus, forgive me my sins. Would you come and live with me forever? That's all it takes. That's why it's easy. The hardest thing is that it's going to cost you your life. Because Jesus wants to rule and reign in every aspect of your life. Not that that's hard, but it's learning to get rid of being selfish. And all of our lives, we're about being selfish. We're about me. About I. And Jesus would say to you today that there actually is a better way, and that would be us, him and you together. And so if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, we're going to say a prayer right now that is a very simple prayer to invite Jesus to become part of your life. And I'd like everyone to say this with me. And for those of you that are saying it for the very first time, you say it nice and loud. Would that be all right? Let's close our eyes and say this prayer. So this is a prayer to invite Jesus to be a part of your life, to become a follower of Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. You took all of my sin on the cross. All of the punishment that should have come my way, it went your way. And I thank you for that. And I'm asking that you would put my sins on the cross today so that I can die to my past and have a future. And the Bible says that as Jesus was raised to life, so I can be raised to life. And that's what I want. I want that resurrection life of God in me, the Holy Spirit in me and on me. I choose today to follow Jesus. Amen. How many of you prayed that prayer for the very, 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 very first time? Can I get you to put your hand up if you said that prayer? Can't recall saying a prayer like that before. See a gentleman at the back? Are there others that are here? Surely there's others that are here that have never said that kind of prayer before to invite Jesus to be a part of your life. Where are your friends? Maybe when I'm looking here, they're putting their hands up here. This is a great thing, to give your life to Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. I was 8 years of age when I did it. My sons were 5 and 4 when they came to that realization that Jesus was real. And if you're in this room and you're feeling a tugging right now, you're feeling real clammy, you're feeling really uncomfortable, that's God giving you a hug right now and saying, this is how close I am. This is how real I am. And I know what that battle was like because my dad was a pastor. I used to go to church every Friday for a kids club, every Sunday for Sunday school, and then church. And almost every week, there was an opportunity to give my life to Jesus. And I kept putting it off just as a child. And I can remember the squirming that I felt as the Holy Spirit was wanting me to become a follower of Jesus. So I want to encourage you that if you said that prayer, that counts. You don't have to put your hand up. But if you said that prayer, God saw your hand. God heard your prayer. Church, I forgot to do two things. Check, check. There we are. Stand up, church. You have two options. Actually, you have many options. Option number one is to go. Option number two is to stay. Option number three is to linger and then go. Anyways, the meeting is probably going to be starting. Or they're trying to target it for 1 o'clock. And so if you'd like to stay for a little bit for that meeting to honor the memory of Shabbat's body, you're very welcome to do that. And if you need to leave, you're very welcome to do that. And God bless you, newcomers. Make sure you grab one of our thank you books right at the door as you're heading out. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.